You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
Dearest Captain Sullenberger, Big Apple Hero, yesterday I received a voicemail from my 84-year-old father who lives on the 30th floor of a building with river views here in Manhattan. Had you not been so skilled, my father or others like him in their sky-high buildings could have perished along with your passengers had not you landed in the river as you had. As a Holocaust survivor, my father taught me that to save a life is to save a world, as you never know what the person you've saved nor his or her prodigy will go on to contribute to the peace and healing of the world. Bless you, dear Captain Sullenberger. New York loves you. That is my favorite one.
Yeah, mine too.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this Epic Film Guy Cinema Beat Minisode. And I am Epic Film Guy Nick.
I am Justin, and I'm also an Epic Film Guy.
Hi, Justin. And we're going to be reviewing Sully this evening. And Justin, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Sully is all about?
Well, you know, to preface this review here we have, Nick, I had a rat named Sully once. I did.
Did he also pilot a plane that water landed in the Hudson?
No, actually, he was named after the character Sully from the Arnold Schwarzenegger action film Commando. No, crickets. Sully, remember when I promised to kill you last? That's right, Matrix, you did! I lied.
See, I thought maybe you were talking about Sully from Monsters, Inc. or something like that. I don't know.
No, Sully from Commando. But the 2016 film from Clint Eastwood, Sully, is the story of
Captain Chesley Sullenberger.
Who became a hero after gliding his plane along the water in the Hudson River, saving all of the airplane flight's 155 crew and passengers.
All right, and this film, of course, stars Tom Hanks as Sully. And this film also, powerhouse cast on this, I thought, which was really, really, really nice to see. Even though some people, I really feel, were kind of wasted in the film. But aside from Tom Hanks, you had Aaron Eckhart as Jeff Skiles, his co-pilot. You had Mike O'Malley, Kurt's dad from Glee, basically, starring as the head of the NTSB board that was investigating the accident/crash. And then Anna Gunn, who is a two-time Emmy winner, as Elizabeth Davis.
Who did very little,
who
I
did
thought.
Absolutely, like,
nothing.
The whole time.
Nothing.
when they did the first shots of the panel in the beginning of the film, and she's sitting there, and she's just sitting there the whole time, and I'm just like, she won two Emmys. Did they really just get Anna Gunn and just put her in this to have her sit there?
Talk to Eastwood, man. Maybe he watched a few episodes of Breaking Bad and was like, I like her. I need her in the movie.
I do not know. Of course, she did have some, you know, dialogue a little bit later in the film, but it was really weird to have Anna Gunn, who, of course, as you mentioned in Breaking Bad, such a great actress, to sit here and basically do a whole lot of nothing. Laura Linney also stars in the film. She plays Sully's wife, Lorraine. And I don't know, like I said, a really, really great cast. And this thing is very, very brisk. It's got a runtime of just over 90 minutes. So it really doesn't do a whole lot in the way of, like, it doesn't drop you into Sully's life, like, before the flight. This is how I thought the film was going to unfold at first. I thought they were going to kind of drop you in and you were going to kind of walk along with him and kind of get to know him as a character and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then the accident was going to happen. And then they were going to do the whole panel and everything like that, the NTSB investigation. Didn't do that at all, which I actually think really worked in the script's credit.
I agree.
Because they kind of jumped around timeline-wise. Now, I will say that I think the flashbacks were way too long in the film because the flashbacks were so long that I actually forgot what Sully was doing when he started flashing back. There's a scene when he's in a hotel room talking to his wife, and then all of a sudden he starts flashing back. And then there's a later scene in a bar where Michael fucking Rapaport, of all people, shows up as the bartender.
And he talks about, yeah, how they came up with the drink
Yeah,
called the Sully, and it was like vodka and water.
Yeah. I love Michael Rapaport, and basically because he does the football fantasy league with the Stern Show staff and trolls the shit out of him. And I absolutely love listening to that because he is hilarious. I love Michael Rapaport, but it was just, I think the flashbacks were way too long. I liked the way that they broke up the structure of the film narratively. So you're kind of in present day after the crash with Sully going through the investigation, and then they flash back and they piece this part of it together. Then they piece this part of it together. Then they piece this part of it together, you know, and I thought that worked for it. But like I said, I think the flashbacks were just a little bit too long because, I mean, it, basically most of this film, I would say a good half of that runtime is told in flashback.
I have to say this much. I'm going to jump right in with this. This is the kind of movie, especially considering who's directing it? It's Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
He's an icon. I love him. I love Clint Eastwood. But
oh, yeah.
let's face it here. The past couple of films he's done, the past four movies, are hit or miss. You know, he's had a couple hits in there. He's had a couple misses, depending on if you liked American Sniper or not. Both Nick and I pretty much for the most part enjoyed that film, despite the flaws that it did have, whether it was accurate or not is yet to be seen. But Sully, for me, I kind of walked into it being like, okay, you know, this is what I'm going to expect. It's, you know, a biopic about this guy who we all know. I remember this. My wife, for some reason, didn't remember this happening, but about a guy who's a pilot, a very well-trained, very well-seasoned pilot,
yeah,
who made a last-minute decision to land a flight. You know, they had just taken off into the Hudson River in New York City, you know, and where he was completely put down for this. They were saying he was not a hero. They were saying he made the wrong decision. They ridiculed him. They put him on trial for this situation. It was big news a few years ago. You know, it was a really, really big deal considering that, you know, prior to this, you know, the last situation that New York City had with airplanes was 9/11. So it was all over the news. It was big, big news. But for me, I kind of walked in like, okay, this is going to be basic biopic, especially from Eastwood. And after Jersey Boys, I'm like, oh, well, he's just going to be like shoving this shit down my throat. But for me, I was pleasantly surprised that I was pretty engaged with the film. I mean, for the most part, I think that a lot of that comes from Tom Hanks, who, as always, knocks it out of the fucking
Hanks
park.
Hanks is fantastic,
man,
in this
role. He's so great in this movie.
Hanks is amazing. And you know, he's got a really kind of quiet honor and a kind of quiet power to him in terms of Sully. You know, the whole time this investigation's going on, he doesn't get emotional. It's a very, very muted performance from Hanks. It's a very, very quiet performance. And it's a genius performance. It really is, because it's, I don't really necessarily think it's going to get a ton of love come awards season.
Unfortunately not.
I think it'll get overlooked, but I mean, it is a great performance. It's just very, very muted. It's very, very quiet. You know,
I found that I was, you know, honestly, Nick, not to cut you off, I found myself, I was watching his eyes so much of the time, in his facial expressions and
his
mannerism, and he had it down. And now, of course, we all expect this. It's, we're talking about Tom Hanks here, but I feel like it's been a little while, maybe for myself, where I've seen Hanks really, I mean, I saw the character of Sully throughout the film. I didn't see Tom Hanks, and that's very hard to see now. Obviously, we know it's him portraying the character, he really delivered in this performance.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And I think to get into things about the film that didn't work for me, there's one thing that really, really sticks out. And Justin, it's the subplot with this kid. And one of the kids was Max Adler, who was the bully that beat up Kurt in Glee. And he and, you know, this, his dad and then his brother, they were all like trying to get on this plane to go on a golfing trip. And I didn't really get why that was in there, because it was just kind of like halfway through the film, all of a sudden they show up. They don't focus on anybody else that's on this plane whatsoever.
You're talking about Jimmy Olsen, right? From Superman Returns, Sam Huntington.
Oh, is that who that was? See, I didn't,
dude.
I didn't even notice that.
As soon as he showed up, dude, I thought like, dude, it's like half-assed Jimmy Olsen from Superman Returns. Now, not to hate on him in that role. He was fine in it. He wasn't given much to do. But it was him. And he looks no older than he did back when he shot that. So.
But yeah, that subplot, that whole subplot really took me out of the film whenever it popped up. Because like I said, these characters just popped up in the middle of the movie. And the film, it follows Sully's character the whole time. Literally, it's very, very tightly directed until these characters show up. And then you're following their story for just a couple minutes, and then it's back to Sully. And then like 20 minutes later, it pops back to them very briefly. And it's just like the subplot did not need to be in the film. I mean, granted, it's a very short runtime as it is. So whatever they were going to do to pad this out, I guess, is fine. But I just don't think the film needed it. And if you're going to focus on one set of passengers, why don't you focus on several sets of these passengers?
Well, we had a couple, though. We had, you know, we had the, it seemed like the woman with her old elderly mother that couldn't walk, that was in the wheelchair. We connected to a few.
But very briefly, like there wasn't anything where it was like
there was nothing to develop them.
But I do think that also sort of works to the film's credit. Like I want to criticize it, but I don't at the same time, because it works to the film's credit, because it really sticks to the crash in terms of its time frame. Like, so it doesn't jump back in time to give you backstory on any of these characters. You literally just get these characters as presented during this event. You know, and I felt like maybe that subplot was just focused on a little bit too much. But other than that,
a little bit too much. Yeah. But the one thing that, you know, hit home with me the most, Nick, is that every single person, for the most part, maybe 98%, I'll have to throw this out there, felt genuinely realistic. Like, especially all the passengers, how everyone reacted to everything that was going on around them. Everyone felt very real to me. So nothing felt staged. Everything felt very realistic.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And I mean, the only thing that I really teased out of this film, and of course, going back to American Sniper, which you already mentioned, that film, I feel, got really unfairly politicized early into its release. So then, you know, if you liked the film, you were immediately branded as this. If you didn't like the film, you were immediately branded as that. And it totally robbed anything away from the actual film itself, like the quality of the film. I absolutely loved that film. I thought it was fantastic. But this film, Eastwood is a lot smarter about it. And I think this is probably reactionary to what happened in American Sniper. His politics and his criticisms of government and everything are very, very muted here. And he's obviously taking a couple of digs at the government and the NTSB for, you know, basically they're blaming the accident on Sully and saying that he could have turned back. He could have gone back and landed at this airport or gone and landed at this airport. He didn't need to land the plane in the water. But those are very, very subtle jabs, and they're very, very deep in the subtext of the film. So if you really don't try to tease it out, it's not there. It's not like Sniper where it's right on the surface and it's really easy to grab. But, you know, I felt like this was really, really tightly directed. I think it was incredibly smart to stick just to the crash. And, you know, I liked that they didn't actually show the crash until a little bit later into the film.
They teased it, yeah. I mean, I actually liked that very much, because it grew a lot of anticipation for me throughout, kind of like waiting for it to happen. But I have to say this much, I was so overwhelmed and I was so excited to say that I was extremely impressed by the way that it was shot as far as the crash is concerned, how realistic it felt. I was literally, and this happens to me once in a while, film fans, where I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm holding both hands on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
And like, I literally felt like, wow, this is intense. You know, those of you that have been on a plane, most people have. I hate flying. I won't lie to you. I've flown a handful of times in my life. I was scared of it for a long time. Two things I'm very afraid of. I'm afraid of heights, and I'm afraid of deep water. And this film puts those two things together, because that's what happened in real life in this situation. So you're like, okay, plane is going to land in the water, and the probability of them landing safely is zero to none. It's very rare that they even say it in the film. It's very rare that they have a successful landing in the water.
And everybody, you know, survives. So, yeah.
Yeah. Every single person survives. There's babies, you know, like everyone. But when the way that it was shot, and I have to give this credit to Eastwood along with his team here and all the filmmakers involved here, I was so impressed with how it was shot. It literally had me by the balls. It did not let go until I left the theater. I kept thinking about that. I'm like, wow, you know, when I fly again, it's going to be hard not to think about this. Now, I'm not sure if you know this or not, Nick, a little quick tidbit here, throwing this in there, that American Airlines actually cooperated with the making of this film. However, as they said in their statement, they will not be showing Sully on their flights as people fly with them.
Understandable. Ever. Yeah, that's incredibly understandable. And it kind of goes back to another amazing, based on a true story drama, which was Argo. And even though it's based on a true story and you know what's going to happen, it still pulls you to the edge of your seats. that's fantastic when a filmmaker can do that. And I absolutely agree with you. That's exactly what Eastwood and his team do in this film. And you're kind of just really, really rooting for Sully here in the film. Make no mistake about it. This film paints him as a hero, which I absolutely 100% believe he was. How fantastic, you know, that he just made this split second decision and he took this plane and landed it in the Hudson River and every single person on board the plane survived. And they called it the Miracle on the Hudson, and it absolutely was 100%. And it's such a testament. And I loved the ending of the film here, and it's not to spoil anything because there's nothing to spoil about it. I mean, it's based on a true story, but the film does close out with some real footage of the actual Sully and the actual survivors of this accident.
I kind of loved it, man.
I loved those inclusions in the ending credits and everything where they played those clips, and there were people getting up and leaving the theater, and then these clips started playing, so everybody files back in and stops and is watching and everything. But absolutely fantastic. And let's go ahead and get on to ratings here, Justin. I don't have a lot else to say about the film. And I'll actually...
I do have to mention this, though.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Aaron Eckhart, man. We haven't seen him show up at anything in how long as far as anything good. And here Eastwood has him right-hand man to Hanks. He didn't have that much to do, but it was good to see him, you know, in a role that required actual acting. Here, we're not talking about I fucking Frankenstein here, people.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, he's in a Clint Eastwood movie, and he's playing the co-pilot to, you know, Tom Hanks, Sully. So yeah. It was good to see him back, and they had a great rapport back and forth.
They did. They had a great chemistry,
you know,
yeah.
Some of the best parts of this movie, you know, as far as we all agree that Hanks did a fantastic job at portraying Sully in the film, but what really hit home with me is when he's like, after the events have happened, and he's in New York City, and he's just, like, jogging around New York City. And you kind of feel, like, this emptiness. He's in the biggest city in the world. Everyone knows who this guy is. He's the biggest hero, and yet he's still kind of trying to, like, understand what happened. And he's still trying to focus and calculate everything in his head. This guy, he's a genius in his own right as far as the real man, Chelsea Sullenberger, who he was. He was very talented. He was very highly professional. He knew what he was doing. Make no mistake, this guy was not an amateur.
No, he'd been flying for, what, 42 years, I believe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this guy knew what he was doing. But even so, you know, you could take one guy out of 20 and that one guy might not be able to do what Sully did here. So, you know, a lot of those scenes really played so well for me. And I'm like, I really related to Hank's performance in those scenes. So I just have to say, you know, that really hit home deep with me. But Nick, as you said, getting on to ratings, why don't we throw it to you for your rating?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to stick a 7 out of 10 on this. I really, really enjoyed this film. And I loved how tightly it was constructed, as I said before, and all the performances in this film were amazing, you know, from Hanks through Eckhart right down to Michael Malley and Anna Gunn, as you know, the people on the NTSB panel, also fantastic in this film. And as you said, the crash was made to feel very, very real. I think the only thing I would take away from it is maybe I would have liked a deeper character piece, you know, that really further invested you in Sully's character. But I kind of understand why they didn't go for that in this film as well. So I'm just going to slap a 7 out of 10 out of it. Very, very good movie. And yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled that I got the chance to check it out.
Yeah, I'd have to totally agree with everything you said there, Nick. This film surprised me more than I thought it would. I definitely was walking in thinking that I was going to see run-of-the-mill Clint Eastwood. There's nothing wrong with that. Eastwood is definitely one of the best filmmakers of his day right now, and an icon as far as an actor is concerned. You know, he's already got an Academy Award under his belt. He knows how to make a good movie. Whether he does that out of the movies he comes to terms with making is yet to be seen. Could we have a great movie like this, like Sully? You know, we could have Million Dollar Baby, or we could have Jersey Boys. You never know what's going to pop out. But for this, I was definitely surprised. I think it was a great film, something every single person should see, about a true American hero, a guy that's just a regular guy, does his job, and he does it right, and he saves 155 people. I'm going to give Sully an 8 out of 10 rating.
Yeah, perfect. And, you know, like I said, absolutely a recommendation from the Epic Film Guys podcast. So if you have not had the chance to see this, especially if this is a story that you're familiar with, and I mean, shit, this was only like 7 years ago. This was not that long ago in terms of its timeline. So this is probably something that's still pretty fresh in a lot of people's minds. You know, go see the film. I think it definitely does it justice, and it definitely does Sully justice in terms of the man and who he was. And the film is absolutely fantastic. So please go ahead and check this out. And thank you very much, everybody, for listening to this Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat minisode. As we stated previously, we're going to be doing this pretty much all the time for all of our reviews. So make sure you stay tuned, and we will see you at the movies.
The airplane was about 3,000 feet over New York City and descending fast. 30 seconds after the engines failed, Captain Sullenberger began urgently looking for someplace to land and radioed air traffic control.
And I said, "Mayday, mayday, mayday. Cactus 1549.
Hit first, we've lost thrust on both engines, returning back towards LaGuardia."
Okay, you need to return to LaGuardia. Turn left, heading up 220.
220.
Tower, stop your departure. It's got emergency returning.
But you didn't return to LaGuardia.
No, I quickly determined that due to our distance from LaGuardia and the distance and altitude required to make the turn back to LaGuardia, it would be problematic reaching the runway. And trying to make a runway I couldn't quite make could well be catastrophic to everyone on board and persons on the ground. And my next thought was to consider Teterboro.
What's over to our right? Anything in New Jersey, maybe Teterboro?
Okay, yeah, off your right side is Teterboro Airport. Do you want to try to go to Teterboro?
Yes.
But it soon became clear he couldn't make it to Teterboro either.
Turn right 280, you can land runway 1 at Teterboro.
We can't do it.
The only viable alternative, the only level, smooth place, sufficiently large to land an airliner, was the river.
Was it in your sight?
It was right to my left.
You contacted air traffic control again, didn't you?
Yes. I said we're going in the Hudson.
That decision to go in the Hudson was made 2.5 minutes into the flight and just 1 minute after the birds had hit. Sullenberger and his co-pilot, Jeff Skiles, started preparing to land on the water.
What kinds of things did you have to think about or worry about in the process of that?
As soon as I assumed control of the aircraft, I turned the engine ignition on. So if there was any chance of a relight, we would have gotten it automatically. The next thing I did was I started the auxiliary power unit, another small jet engine that we use to provide electrical power for the airplane.
What happened when you all tried to do those things?
No luck. I mean, I got the AP running, I turned the ignition on, but still no usable thrust. We were descending rapidly toward the water.
So you were going fast toward the Earth?
Yes, the water was coming up at us fast.